We are returning to our study in 1 Peter this morning, and I want to begin with a little story from a preacher by the name of Stephen Beck. He tells this story. He says, "Driving down a country road, I came to a very narrow bridge. In front of the bridge, a sign was posted. It said, 'Yield.' Seeing no oncoming cars, I continued across the bridge into my destination. On my way back, I came to the same one-lane bridge, now from the other direction. To my surprise, I saw another yield sign posted. Curious, I thought, I'm sure there was a yield sign on the other side. When I reached the other side of the bridge, I looked back, and sure enough, yield signs had been placed at both ends of the bridge. Drivers from both directions were requested to give right of way. It was a reasonable and gracious way of preventing a head-on collision. When the Bible commands Christians to be subject to one another, Ephesians 5:21, it is simply a reasonable and gracious command to let the other have the right of way and avoid interpersonal head-on collisions." In our text today, Peter gives us some important principles to avoid those head-on collisions in our personal and interpersonal relationships. He says in verse 8, "Finally." Now, you all know what that means when a preacher says "finally." It means he's only got a long ways to go yet. And that's kind of the situation with Peter. But this is kind of the beginning of his summary of this whole section on submission. We've looked at this. Now, we've been away from it for a few weeks over the Christmas break. But we've looked at the different areas of submission that Peter has talked about here, beginning with chapter 2 and verse 13, submission to authority. He spoke in verses 13 to 17 about submission to human authorities and about the fear of God. He spoke about submission to employers or masters, those who are over you in, I guess, the workplace, in verses 18 to 20. And he speaks of being submissive to your masters, even those who may be unreasonable or harsh. In verses 21 to 25, he gave us the example, an example to follow, the example of Jesus Christ in suffering, how he yielded himself even in suffering. And then in chapter 3, the first 7 verses, submission in the relationship between husbands and wives. But in all of this, there is the idea of submitting to one another. And today we come to verses 8 to 12. And we have to keep in mind that this is still all in that context of suffering and submission. And we see in verse 8 some attitudes that are important for positive and peaceful relationships. And then in verses 9 to 12, Peter introduces a principle of blessing. And the idea of giving a blessing and getting a blessing, the idea of receiving a blessing by being a blessing, and we're going to look at that. But first of all, we need to look at verse 8 and some attitudes for positive relationships, some attitudes that can help us in our relationships with others. And there are 5 things that Peter mentions here. The first one is harmony. Live in harmony with others. The English Standard Version that I use says, "Have unity of mind." Christians are called to be harmonious, to have unity of mind in their relationships with one another and with all men. Romans 12:18 tells us, "If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men." And when we think about the area of submission and suffering, I think that Peter is calling us to more than just obedience. He's talked about obeying your masters. He's talked about obeying the authorities that are over you. He's talked about submission in the home. But it's more than just obedience. Living in harmony, living in submission, means not only doing what's required, but seeking to understand the mind, the desire of those over us in order to do what pleases them. One preacher, I believe I got this from Bob Deffenbaugh. It's a quote anyway, I believe it's from him. He put it this way, a submissive employee should endeavor to determine how his employer wants things done and then seek to do it. A child should seek not only to mind a parent, but to learn the mind of his parent and act accordingly. If such were the case, far fewer rules would be required. Rules are required when we are not of one mind. Now, having unity of mind or being in harmony does not mean unanimity. There are those who would like to create that kind of atmosphere where everyone is required to think exactly the same way. We tend to call that a cult, where the leader does the thinking and everybody else just falls in line with that. But in true Christianity, the key is not unanimity, but rather harmony. And again, I found this illustration somewhere. I thought it was quite interesting. It illustrated by an orchestra. An orchestra is made up of many different musicians playing different instruments, playing often usually different notes, but they're all playing the same song. And that's critical, because if they're on different songs, then you're going to have disharmony. But when everybody's together and they're all playing the same song, and the different parts and the different instruments and different notes are all played together, the result is beautiful harmony. Because they're all playing the same song and they're all following the same conductor. And that's the way it should work in the church. Different gifts, different ministries, but all following the same conductor, the same spirit, and working together, and it results in harmony. Second attitude that Peter speaks of is sympathy. Be sympathetic, the NIV said, or mine just says, have unity of mind, have sympathy. The word is actually a compound word. It's made up from the root word suffer and the prefix with or beside. It literally means to suffer with or to suffer alongside someone. Now, the specific word that Peter uses here is not found anywhere else in the New Testament. This is the only place you find that Greek word. But Albert Barnes, in his commentary, describes it this way. He says, this word describes that state of mind which exists when we enter into the feelings of others as if they were our own, as the different parts of the body are affected by that which affects one. To enter into the feelings of others. Sympathy, there's another word that could also be applied here, empathy. And I believe the Apostle Paul captures this thought in Romans 12:15 when he says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Entering into the feelings of others. Have unity of mind. Live in harmony. Be sympathetic. Enter into their feelings. And the third requirement that Peter gives for Christian relationships is brotherly love. This is literally the word Philadelphia. Philos, which refers to affection, it's a compound word referring to the affection of a brother. Philos, which is affection, that affectionate kind of love, and brother, Adelphos, or Adelphia. And it refers to the love that believers should have for one another. This isn't the first time Peter has referred to this. Back in chapter 1 and verse 22, he says, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. love one another earnestly from a pure heart. It's the same love that Jesus commanded of his disciples. He said in John 13, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Brotherly love. Live in harmony, be sympathetic, love as brothers, or have brotherly love. And the fourth is compassion. Compassion. My translation says a tender heart. The word that's used here literally refers to the intestines, the bowels. That's the word in the Greek, the bowels. Because they believed that the deepest feelings, the deepest emotions in a believer, the most intense feelings came from deep inside a person. And they would use that term, the bowels. And one commentary made this statement. It said, the bowels were regarded as the seat of the more violent passions, such as anger and love. But by the Hebrews, it was seen as the seat of the tenderer affections, especially kindness, benevolence, compassion. Hence our heart, tender mercies, affections, etc. Peter uses the term here to refer to the deep concern, the compassion, the tender heart that we should have toward others. Some have defined it this way. Sympathy is the feeling of sorrow that we have over another's pain or hurts. Empathy is the ability to feel that pain ourselves, to enter into, to suffer with another in their pain. Compassion is the desire and the willingness to do something about another's pain, to carry someone else's pain, to help relieve them of their burden that they're carrying. And so Peter says, you need to live in harmony, you need to be sympathetic, you need to have brotherly love, you need a tender heart, compassion. And then the fifth is humility, a humble mind. Humility is at the very heart of the Christian life. The Apostle Paul calls us to humility. In Philippians chapter 2, that great chapter about the humility of Jesus Christ. In Philippians chapter 2, he associates humility with submission and suffering, as is demonstrated in the life of Jesus himself. He says there, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind. There's the unity again, harmony. Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from rivalry or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Or, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's some debate as to the translation there. But it's exemplified in Christ, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Humility, exemplified in the life of Jesus and his willingness to go right to the cross. Humility is really the willingness to accept others and to put them and their interests ahead of our own. Well, these are qualities that Peter has called us to as believers in Christ. They are qualities and characteristics of our Lord Jesus Christ, and if we're to be like him, they must also be seen in us. But they're attitudes that characterize true submission, and which, if we're followed by all believers, would revolutionize our relationships, and I believe it would ultimately change our world for Jesus Christ. it would create a unity that is often not there. Well, there's another principle in this passage that I want to look at briefly in verses 9 to 12. In verse 9, Peter says, "Do not repay evil for evil." And this is kind of a follow-up. If you have all of these attitudes, the unity of mind or harmony and sympathy and brotherly love and compassion and humility, do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless. For to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. The principle of being blessed by blessing others. First of all, the principle of blessing. The scriptures are very clear about the truth that we are to be people of grace. And that's what Peter is really talking about here. Holding a grudge against those who have wronged us is never to be considered by the Christian. As a believer in Christ, we do not hold it against other people. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling. But in this text, Peter gives us an important reason for the fact that we are not to hold grudges against others. He reminds us that this is our calling. He said, you don't do this. You don't repay evil for evil. You don't repay with reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called. And his logic goes kind of like this. He says, you have been called to inherit a blessing. Your destiny is to receive a blessing. And we've talked about the inheritance. We've talked about all that God has in store. As we've looked at the first part of 1 Peter, we've been called to inherit a blessing. And if we are to live consistently with our calling, then we should be characterized by the fact that we bless others. Even those who would do evil. Now, this principle of blessing others in order to be blessed can be seen throughout Scripture. It goes back as far as Abraham, at least. In Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. And even there, in God's covenant with Abraham, he had that idea that those who bless Abraham would be blessed in return. The idea of giving a blessing and you receive a blessing. But God also told Abraham, I will bless you, but you will be a blessing to all nations. And the principle is really this: get a blessing by giving a blessing. Now, Peter goes on in these verses to refer to a passage from the Old Testament. In verses 10 to 12, you find some verses that you will find almost, not quite word for word, but almost in Psalm 34. Psalm 34, 12 to 16. Now, if you were to look back at Psalm 34, you would discover that Psalm 34 was written by King David. It was written at the time that he was fleeing from Saul, and he went to Abimelech to... I should have had this down. But anyway, Abimelech was a pagan king, and he was afraid for his life, and he pretended to be insane so that Abimelech drove him out. That's the context of the psalm that this is taken from. But anyway, it says, whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. And Peter uses this in the context of that principle of giving a blessing, being a blessing in order to receive the blessing of God. Now, in those verses, I see a couple of things, well, actually three areas that are covered. And I'm not going to spend any time on these. I just want to mention them. Whoever desires to love life and see good days, in other words, receive God's blessing, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. The first thing is our speech. Speaking good. Staying away from evil, staying away from deceit, staying away from those things that would bring dishonor, but speaking truth. The second thing, let him turn away from evil and do good. Second thing is our actions, how we live our lives, the things we do. Do what is right, do what is good. And the third is let him seek peace and pursue it. It has to do with the attitudes and the motives of our heart. If we want the blessing of God, we need to be willing to bless others. We need to watch what we say, what we do, and our attitudes, what we think, and how we feel. The problem that we often face, I guess, one of the problems that we encounter in this whole area as human beings, as sinful human beings, is that it's easy to forget this principle of blessing others. It's easy to begin to think that as believers in Jesus Christ, we somehow deserve God's blessing because of who we are. And we think that sinners, those wicked people out there, rightly deserve to be punished, but we deserve to be blessed. And so we may feel little obligation to be a blessing to the ungodly. But God says that we have been called to be a blessing to others so that we may inherit a blessing. I think what Peter is really saying in all of this, in the context that he's in about submission to authority and about suffering for Christ's sake, is that when we do suffer, when we are opposed, when people try to hurt us, we should respond with blessing. Not only because we will be blessed eternally, but because we're being blessed even now. The reason that Jesus came to earth was to bring God's blessing of salvation to us as sinful people. And the question that I need to ask you is this: have you accepted the gift and entered into the blessings that God has provided in Christ? We have so much in Christ. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing, but none of that is ours unless we have received Jesus Christ. So the question is, have you accepted his gift, the gift of salvation, and entered into those blessings? Unfortunately, rejecting God's blessings that were provided in Christ when he came the first time to offer himself as a sacrifice will mean facing the judgment of God when Jesus Christ comes the second time in judgment. But as Christians, we're called to a high standard. It's only by his grace that we can ever live out the kind of qualities, the kind of attitudes that Peter puts before us in verse 8. And it's only by God's grace that we can bless others. Even those who would seek to harm us. You know, that's really what Peter's getting at there. Do not repay evil for evil. When people seek to hurt us, when we suffer because of who we are in Christ, when people oppose us, when people revile and persecute us, he says, don't repay that way. Bless them. Do good to them. We're called to bless others, even those who seek to harm us, knowing that it's to this that we've been called, because we in turn are to receive God's eternal blessing. May God give us the grace to live out these principles today, this week, this coming year. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would take these words and apply them to our lives. Lord, if there's anything that wasn't very clear in what was said this morning, I pray that your Spirit could take it and clarify it in people's minds. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a blessing to those around us, even those who would seek to harm us, those who revile us, those who do evil to us because of our faith in Christ, that we would bless them and do good to them. Because that's what we've been called to. Lord, we just pray for your blessing to go before us this week. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.